Just a few weeks ago, I was on a visit to Rome, visiting one of our students who's going to be ordained in St. Margaret's in about a month's time. And I find that no matter how many times you go there, there's always something new, there's always something that you've never seen or done before. And so in this particular visit, we were invited into the Benedictine monastery of St. Paul's outside the walls, into the actual cloister. I'd never been in there before. And there, amongst many other beautiful rooms and chapels, we were shown the room where Pope John the 23rd announced his intention to call the Second Vatican Council. And I mention this for two reasons. Firstly, John the 23rd was the first pope to be visited by a moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. Popes didn't get out very much then. They're all over the place now. You can't keep a track of them. But this event would have been unimaginable before John became pope. The moderator was the very Reverend Dr. Archibald Craig. And John was an old man who was in a hurry. He had lots to do, but he knew that his time was limited. Events were happening quickly as John, in that great phrase, opened the windows of the church and let in the powerful, refreshing, and unpredictable winds of the Holy Spirit. And it's said that as the moderator, Archibald Craig, was leaving, he turned round and he looked at the Pope and he said, "Co cani Giovanni." And it's further said that the Pope looked up from his desk and he said, "Arrivederci, Erci." I think people make these up. The second and the most important reason that I mentioned John the 23rd is that from that day of calling the Second Vatican Council, the 25th of January 1959, he peppered his homilies and his addresses with references to what he called a new Pentecost. He clearly saw the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as central to all that the church is, all that the church should be. And he wasn't afraid to go where the Spirit was leading. We stand between Ascension Thursday and Pentecost Sunday. The overpowering image of the church at this time is the church at prayer, gathered together, waiting, anticipating, imploring. They're huddled together, a bit fearful perhaps, not sure how to go forward, but they're open and they're receptive. They await fire, they await that refreshment from the water of life. They long for what they need to fulfill the mission that Jesus has given them. The reading from the Acts of the Apostles tells us that they're going to need all of the help that they can get. In the reading we heard today, we're given an insight into how St. Luke understands how the Holy Spirit works. There's a show of power, there's a moment of victory as the spirit of divination is cast out of the slave girl. That show of power brings about opposition. Those the apostles have come into contact with are just afraid of what could happen here. It's frightening, the power that's been shown. And as a consequence of that, they have to face great trials in their lives, hardships. But it's through these trials, it's through the hardships, that real success comes and that people are brought to faith in Jesus. That's what the church is all about, and that's what we are all about. Today we come together to reflect on that and what we're about as the Church of God here in Dunfermline particularly. Today we gather together, we wait, we anticipate, we implore, we're open, we're receptive. That lack of certainty is still there, that little bit of fear is still there as well, because we live in times that are very, very challenging for all people of faith, for all churches. Today we focus on the person of St. Margaret, whose intimately associated with this historic place. We rejoice that we come together from different Christian traditions, and we recognise that Margaret belongs not to one particular denomination, but to all of us. She still speaks to us. She's still a great example to us all. In his life of St. Margaret, the Bishop Turgot writes, "She was called Margaret, and in the sight of God, she showed herself to be a pearl, precious in faith and works. She was indeed a pearl to you, to me, to all of us, yea, to Christ himself. And being Christ's, she is all the more ours now that she has left us, having been taken by the Lord." In this place that's been made holy by the prayers of countless people for nearly 1,000 years, we recognise that the greatest example that Margaret gives us is her example of holiness, her dedication to prayer. Prayer was her strength. It was her inspiration for all that she did. Her love of God expressed in her faithful dedication to seeking a relationship with God in prayer spilled out into every aspect of her life, her love of her husband and family, her love for those who were in the greatest need, and her love for her adopted country. There are 45 accounts of the miracles associated with St. Margaret, but the greatest and the most important miracle is the miracle of her love. That love came from God, and like God's love, it transformed those who experienced it. There's always an amazing attraction exerted by those who are truly holy, those who are really in close communion with God. They draw us closer to God. We might become more aware of our own inadequacies, our own limitations, but still they exert this great attraction on us, and they lead us closer to God. So even though she died over 900 years ago, Margaret still has much to offer us. She came as an exile to this land, fleeing political unrest. She found here a welcome and a home. She worked to further education, to alleviate poverty where she found it. She worked to reform the church. She encouraged merchants to trade. Perhaps her hardest task was to improve the manners of her husband and the Scottish court. Women down through the ages, I'm sure, have found the same. Margaret cared for the material but also the spiritual welfare of her countrymen. She shows us that value of being able to welcome those from different backgrounds and cultures, to learn from them, to benefit from their gifts and their talents. She embodies love and compassion, care and concern. She had that strength of spirit, that personality that changed those around her for the better. And all that she did for this country and its people cannot be separated from her faith in God, from her love of God, from her being open to that love of God flowing in her life and work. There's a free advert if ever there was one. We call this encounter this morning Pilgrims Together. These are challenging times for our churches. We can be fearful and hesitant. The temptation is to huddle together in our separate upper rooms and to forget that we've been given a mission to fulfill. We can also forget that we have to pray. We have to pray for the gifts that we need to carry out that mission, particularly the gift of the Holy Spirit. We forget that we can do this together. Jesus prays for his disciples in today's gospel. He prays for unity. "As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us." Jesus isn't just praying for us to be nice and chummy with one another. He's praying that our love might never become cold. Love is the bond that unites the Son with the Father. That love is dynamic and creative. That love is life-giving and refreshing. That love is called the Holy Spirit. Margaret walked as a pilgrim through life, She did encounter difficulties and hardships, even with her privileged status. She walked the way of holiness and prayer. She walked the way of charity and love. She's an example to each and every one of us. And so, inspired by her example, may we walk the way of Christ more attentively, with greater commitment. May we grow in holiness and in love, and we continue to do this as pilgrims together.